You may have noticed that there has been little emphasis during the first two classes upon your life in this world. And that may shock a few who are thinking in terms of improving their human life. But those of us who understand the divine nature of this work are well aware that the divine achievement of divine life brings forth all the necessary improvements in what appears as human life. So we lay no stress whatsoever on improving human life. It takes care of itself. Our stress, our interest, our purpose is basically not to fulfill a human wish, a human desire, but to live in the divine will, obeying in every possible way the will of God, so that wherever you are at any given moment, the knowledge that you are living in the will of God consciously becomes the armor of light for you. You need nothing else. Because when you're in the will of God, it enforces itself and all that is necessary to enforce it. Now, there's a great movement going on this earth today. I guess you call it the spiritual age, but I'd like you to know that you are the spiritual age. It is you. The movement is very difficult to detect until you are in the awareness that mortality must go. The movement is from mortality to immortality. And that's quite different than most people have in mind on this earth at this point. But across the earth, there is an emerging phenomenon, and the God-man is showing up. The God-man is appearing, and the God-man is beginning to walk among us and to express the will of God. Now, that God-man can never be a mortal person. It can look like a mortal person. It can have been born in the womb of a woman, but it is the transition in consciousness from mortality to immortality that distinguishes the God-man from the earth-man. It is a willingness not to cling to the remnants of a mortal yesterday. Now, those of you who feel this transitional experience now from mortality to immortality as a necessity are truly the ones who are going to find that you can enter paradise life here now where death is impossible. It is the God-man living the immortal life who experiences the deathless body that walks in paradise. Now, that is where we are, and that is where every effort is being bent. To concentrate on the fulfillment of being a living seed of the Christ. Because those seeds planted by Christ Jesus and other great masters are now coming forth as living fruit. And you are one of them or you are not. We who have moved out of a degree of mortality into a degree of immortality are now opening up to find life in higher dimensions here. That is our purpose, And that is how we have been guided to live in higher dimensions of life, to wash the feet of this earth while living visibly in and on it, living instead in the invisible finished kingdom of the Father. Now I'm going to assume that each of us here has come to express the God qualities that are inherently our being. And therefore, you must be considered as that God-man who is the fruit of Christ's message on earth. And you are walking now into another you. Another you that is so strange that even you may not know this you. And that is why it is necessary to be guided by the Spirit of God within you, and not by human opinions. There was a strange time on the earth when even the disciples were shocked. They were told that their master was leaving. And that was a teaching for us. They could not find Christ unless they let go of Jesus. He told them as much. He said, I'm leaving now. And they begged him to stay. But I must go. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But that was not a teaching just to them. It was a veiled statement that they had to give up Jesus to find Christ, but it was really saying they had to give up mortality to find immortality. They had to give up mortality to find Christ. They had to give up the mortality of Jesus first and then the mortality of themselves. And we are at that place now, where you can stand still and pull new things toward yourself. You can go through that accretion process, which is such a human process. Or you can drop the human. You can drop the senses. You can drop the mind. You can drop the ambitions. You can drop the desires and the limitations and the lacks and all the evils you think you possess. You can drop the world. You can live in the immortal universe as an immortal being, and that is now. Many of you have read the first chapter of Joel's book, The Infinite Way, many times. I wonder how many of you have read it recently. Every time you pick it up, there's another shock. I picked it up, and I was going through the wisdoms, and this came to my attention almost immediately. God is life. God is love. God is. Nothing else is. Only God is. Everywhere you turn now, you're going to find that when you're not accepting only God is, you're living mortally. And if you wish to live immortally, you can only live by accepting that only God is. You have to retranslate everything around you from the changing temporal scene to the meat that never perishes. Now this you cannot be lived in by anyone else but you. And so to have an immortal day is quite a challenge. To have an immortal life is the purpose of all existence. Now, if you're not having an immortal life, but a mortal one, you're rejecting divine life. There is no divine life in a mortal being. And all your study is in vain. Mortal life is in a mortal being. Immortal life, divine life, is in an immortal being. One is real, one is imitation. One is forever, one is temporary. One never ends, one must end. There's no place in there where you can quibble. The facts will always be the same. There should come a moment now when immortal life is all you will accept. And everything that comes disguised in any other way has to be met with the consciousness of truth, that immortal life is the only life that exists. You, like the disciples, must learn to give up the sense of mortality that makes you earthbound and prevents you from living in the higher dimensions, which ultimate in paradise. So our first meditation must be that I am not mortal. I am immortal. And all that is immortal, I am. This begins as a simple statement without weight or substance, but it's a beginning. Immortal is the only reality. If I am bearing a child, I am bearing an immortal being who does not depend upon me for its life. You've got to see that you cannot saddle a child with a human life. You're depriving it of its divinity. You must accept the immortality of the child. You must accept the immortality of everyone you see. You cannot be an immortal walking among mortals because there are none. There is only the sense of mortality. There is no mortality anywhere. This transitional consciousness now, which becomes alert to the illusions called mortality, is your way of being faithful to the living word of God within you. Be perfect, be immortal as your Father. Fortunately, many of us know that we can handle this. We can live with it. We can grow with it. It is no longer an idea that bewilders us, confounds us, and confuses us. And if it is to those who are only beginning to hear it for the first or second or third time, be assured that everyone begins with a slight sense of confusion at trying to be immortal and to translate the world into the immortal universe that it is. Don't be afraid or embarrassed as you stumble along, because you're stumbling with others who have stumbled before you. And many of us are still stumbling. Those stumbles are the way you grow. Now, in your immortality, you cancel out human birth. Your mind may not understand it, but you had no beginning at human birth. Immortality has always existed. It existed before human birth, and it is independent of human birth. It is independent of human death. It will exist when death has made its call and the immortal self is still alive. at every hint of a temporary mortal selfhood that perishes, you are stepping out of truth, out of reality, out of the will of God, out of your true self. And so let's cement that. Immortal I am, without beginning, without end. It may hurt quite a bit, but this is the great unselfing. As you unself, as you drop personal sense, as you drop the idea of a finite you, you realize that divine life can never live in a human body, and therefore, to be divine life, you must recognize that you are not living in a human body. Unselfing is your chore, which leads you into the rebirth as Christ realized. This unselfing is a daily practice which Paul called dying daily, but you may call it living daily. Being daily, immortalizing daily, recognizing reality daily. And from this, that little seed of truth receives invisible nourishment. It is quickened into more than you could possibly anticipate when you begin accepting immortality. The walls are too small to hold you. Certainly the body is too small to hold you. Even the world does not contain your immortal self. No one's going to notice you are immortal, just you. You'll be the same tomorrow physically, and you may do some of the same things, but you'll do them a little differently. Something will be doing them for you, because God energizes the immortal self. The world mind energizes the human self. And this new divine energy, which pulsates through your infinite being, takes you through normal human hurdles as if they never were there. Your immortal self begins to be an Aladdin's lamp. You can't get enough of it. It seems to have a way of doing things that your mortal self never knew how to do. It doesn't have the same snaggling problems that we have. It doesn't walk in a state of discord. It has a sense of freedom that is different than human freedom. It has a confidence, a fearlessness, a boldness. It is the way you have always wanted to be, and you find it's the way you really are. You find yourself then walking in an immortal universe with immortal inhabitants. Somehow, your friends of yesterday are different. You are joining them from a different perspective. Your family is different. Your children are different. And you are feeling the difference perhaps more than they. You are beginning to feel their immortality and to realize what you really have. You begin to realize the immortality of your friends. Your universe is bursting at the seams. There is a new glory that surrounds every thought, every action. The immortal universe, the finished kingdom of the Father, opens its arms to you and welcomes you. Because you have accepted your own immortality without boundaries. And all this was known to Christ speaking to the disciples when he told them he had to go away. As long as they were mortals hanging on to another mortal in their eyes, how could they find this wonderful universe of the Father? They had to move in their own immortality. His mortality had to leave them. Your mortality has to leave you. That was his teaching at that point. You can find ample justification for that in Revelation. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life instead of the tree of good and evil, instead of the opposites. But what are you to overcome? One word, mortality. To him that overcometh, mortality will I give to eat of the tree of life. Or will I give to eat of the tree of immortality? So you see, the Father has placed these divine wisdoms in your path to reassure you. It's not a personal opinion. It's the divine will that you overcome mortality and realize that it has never been here. It has been part of a plan to force your soul into higher levels of itself, to force your soul into its ascension, to keep your soul moving upward beyond mortality and not to linger here, not to even try to improve mortality, not to fall into that trap. And you'll find, though you think you are moving higher and you are accepting immortality, it is the impulse of your soul in you that is forcing you to do it. As the soul rises through this particular level of consciousness of the world mind, you feel within yourself the initial glimpse that immortality is your name. And this in turn releases your soul to go still higher. I am come. I, your immortal self, I am come that ye may have life and have it more abundantly. Did you realize that Christ is your immortal life? That I, Christ, your immortal life, is who you are? We can no longer be shadows of ourselves. The immortal life of Christ is your life. And that immortal life is one with the Father. And that's why it's the miracle worker. And so it is better for us, if we must, to struggle with the idea of being immortal than to struggle with mortality, which goes nowhere. One ends nowhere. One lifts you into realms where your soul is free, where your spirit enacts the divine will, where your life itself is without blemish forever. So it's worth the struggle, no matter how great the conflict of leaving a mortal sense of life. It's the way you walk out of death. For whoever overcometh, to him will I give to eat of the tree of life instead of death. I hope that instead of having to go back into mortality, you can abide there a while, especially in this class, because to the degree that you abide in your immortal self, to that degree will you reinforce it with truth that will sustain you in it. At this moment, I know no mortal being on the face of the earth. In the unselfing, you are told to lose your life for my sake. And if you lose your life for my sake, you will find your life. And so as you lose the sense of mortality, the life that you find, which is immortal, is your life. As you lose your mortal life, you find your immortal life. For as I go away, as the mortal life goes away, the Comforter comes unto you. The Comforter is your immortal Christ life. Now just think of it for a moment. What is it like to be the immortal Christ life? And who says that you are, that you can believe? Son, all that I have is thine. If the Father says, all that I have is thine, and the life of the Father is immortal life, then the Father's immortal life is your life. And so you have the Father's word. And it also means you have no other life. For there is no other life than the life of God. Can you retranslate at this level to see what has been missing in your daily endeavors to live what is called a Christian life? Can you see places where you have accepted darkness instead of light, limitation instead of abundance, fear instead of courage and confidence, always because you were protecting a mortal life which wasn't there? Especially with children, and especially with loved ones, we fear for their mortal life while we deny their immortal life, which can never be hurt. which can never end, which can never suffer. And if we would but give them the benefit of knowing that for them, we might see a change even in their mortal sense of life. If you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. And that was a sign that there are two kinds of life, the one you lose and the one you find. The one you lose was never your life. That's why you lose it. The one you find always was your life, and that's why you find it. One is perishable, one is eternal. And now, if you accept immortal life, you have accepted eternal life. Where does that put death? If you accept immortal life, you accept eternal life. And therefore, where does that put death? What is going to die? Eternal life? Oh, yes, we've still got a body, haven't we? But you don't have a body because eternal life cannot live in a physical body. You cannot stuff it into a physical body. It doesn't pass through a physical body. You see, in accepting mortal, immortal, eternal life, you are doing the incredible thing of denying at the same time that you have no physical body. Deny thyself. Oh, sure, I'll deny anything but my physical body. You may as well. It will be taken away from you. Why don't you take it away from yourself? Why don't you see it another way? See it from a higher level of yourself. Again, you will be amazed at what you see within yourself. Do it now. See your physical body from another viewpoint. See immortal life as your life, as your being. And see how limited you become the minute you try to be inside a finite physical body. See the impossibility of it. And see how clinging to the sense of a physical body is the denial of your immortal life. It's the denial and the rejection of God's word, God's life. It's the denial of Christ. So that's a major obstacle, to deny thyself. Let's live there a moment and see how my body, the physical sense of body, is really placed within my consciousness by the world mind. Heaven knows it's not the image and likeness of God. The world mind has deceived us, giving us a sense of physical bodies in which we think we are living, and forcing us to deny the reality of immortal life, which God tells us we are. Son, all that I have is thine. My entire immortal life is thine. And world mind has trapped you into a false sense of temporary life in a temporary body. And don't worry about what happens to that body. It'll be taken care of. And one day you'll be aware of another body, because you do have another one. You have an immortal body, like unto the body of Christ. This is a transitional period. We're reminded by Paul, as in Adam, all die. Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. Is that a strong enough statement for us to accept with total confidence, or do we need more? If we do, we're entitled to it. We're entitled as much as we need in order to realize that Spirit is not pushing us off a cliff. It's opening the door to paradise. Christ has begotten us, says Peter. Christ has begotten us to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Don't get the notion that he was saying that heaven is remote or in the future. Heaven is in your consciousness of immortal life. Love, be of one mind, knowing that ye are called, that ye should inherit a blessing. That's Peter's way of telling us in his epistles that he has learned the message of the Christ, that he has found immortality now. Now look for a moment at the disciples faced with the need to relinquish their grip on Jesus and let him go. And you, faced with the need to let your mortality go, and you are saying to yourself, do I have to be cautious? Do I have to keep an eye open? Do I have to sort of do this halfway? Can I be immortal in my consciousness and also a little mortal too, so that I don't put all my eggs in one basket? I hope you can see how shallow that would be, in which you would simply defeat yourself. The hour has come for you to abandon mortality. And that's what Jesus was saying. Behold, the hour cometh. Yea, is now come. Speaking to the disciples, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own consciousness, and shall have me alone, shall leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone, because the Father is with me. And so therefore, he's giving you the ammunition to know that when you leave your mortality or your belief in it, you don't have to be cautious. You are not alone. You know the Father is with you. And if you don't, you better practice knowing it until you know. There's nothing you can do to be alone. Omnipresence is always omnipresence. And the you that is alone is the false sense of you. You are omnipresence. There is no you to be alone. Move over into your omnipresent, immortal life. How can it be alone? The aloneness is living in that which is not. Now, I know some cannot get it, but I know many can. Perhaps as we feel the truth of our being, those close to us will be lifted to. Because make no bones about it, you're going out into this world and you are going to lift others into immortality as you lift yourself. This is the way we must go. Now, this truly is the hour for immortality to walk this earth. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Who is this I? You remember the thief on the cross? You remember when he turned and said, Lord, take me into heaven, take me into the kingdom when you go there? And how he decided that this was something happening inside himself. And because it happened inside himself, the Christ within him instantly released him into paradise. And this is who's talking to you. This I within yourself is saying this. Don't think Jesus is saying this because you read it in a book. It is Christ saying this, and man transcribing it into a book. And it is permanent. It is not something Christ said 2,000 years ago. Christ is always now. And so Christ within you is saying, and that's not a pretense or a rationalization. We're trying to come to the place where every word Christ says you realize to be the Christ within you saying it. Because that's what it is. There's a lot of power in just knowing that. These things, I, the Christ within you, I have spoken unto you, that in me, in the Christ within you, ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I, Christ, in the midst of you, I, your immortal life, have already overcome the world. Are you beginning to see what's happening to you? Your immortal life has already overcome this world. You see why? The moment you make a move toward it, to accept it, the power of this world must diminish over you. I knew a young lady who, in a class like this, suddenly heard the voice for the first time in her life. Of course, she was exalted. But it stayed with her. It stayed with her. Day after day after day, she could turn within and there was the voice. And one day, after getting used to having it, it went away. It departed. She was abjectly forlorn. She had lost the most treasured thing in her life. And that was after months and months and months of having the constant voice as her companion to guide her, lead her, love her, teach her, make her one with the Eternal Father. And so she phoned me and she said, the voice is gone. What'll I do? I didn't know what to tell her. But the voice in me knew what to tell her. It said, read the Bible for a few days and read it with this in mind. Every time you see Christ, the word Christ, put that Christ in your own being and realize your own being is speaking, not Christ in a book. And when those words are spoken by the Christ, realize the only reason you're reading them in a book is because you haven't yet reached the point where you can hear them in yourself. When you are willing to hear them within yourself instead of in the book, that's where they'll be. That was the end of our conversation, and I had no idea what would happen. That was, I think, about 3 years ago. She still has the voice. It came back quite quickly. It hasn't left. But the point is that Christ is not only within you, Christ is your being. The word within is a formal way of saying that Christ is you. But you know, Christ and immortal life are synonyms. Christ means life of God. When we say, I am Christ, it means, I know that I am the life of God. It's pulsing through me, and there's no question about it, being the life of God instead of a physical life now. When you see Christ is within you, you're saying that the life of God is your life. And that's why you must be Christed, because the life of God is your life. And any other life is fraudulent, and it must show forth as a false life. It must have defects. It must have limitations. It isn't the life of God. And all of our defects and diseases and disasters and cataclysms happen because there are those of us who walk in a life that is not the life of God, which is obviously vulnerable and not under divine law.